Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Let's start with one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tight end to ever play the game.
Debatable.
It's debatable.
No, I don't want to do that on his day.
This is his day. Give him his flowers, man.
Yeah, we did that with Sue Bird.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the NFL. Now, he announced this via his Twitter account today that he was going to retire. And this is his post, and you can read most of his posts on Twitter. It says, in college, I was asked to write about a dream job opportunity that I wanted to pursue and where the location would be. Every time I had to write about my future, no matter what, I picked being a professional football player. For that assignment, though, we had to pick the location. So I wrote that I wanted to play in Tampa for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for many reasons. One, the sunny weather. Two, he actually completely forgot about writing this report until 2 years ago when he had the opportunity to actually join the Bucs. And let me tell y'all, the journey in Tampa over the last 2 years has blown away what I originally wrote about college big time. And for this, I want to thank the whole entire first class Buccaneers organization for an amazing ride, trusting me to come back and play and help build a championship team. And you can read the rest of that quote on his Twitter page. Shady McCoy, you were teammates with Rob Gronkowski. What was he like as a teammate?
Gronk was super cool. Super funny, man. Loved to work hard. Never a dull moment. He kept the guys just happy, right? He's always making jokes, man. And, you need teammates like that, guys that will go to back for you, work hard, you know, play hard, but also lighten the mood up a little bit, you know, because every moment of football can't just be about X's and O's, right? We're teammates, you know, we eat lunch together. We talk about, you know, life experiences off the field. Gronk is an A-plus teammate, you know, and I'm happy for him. He talked about when he's retired the first time around. I retired, I didn't regret it because I was making $6-7 million. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny because like his career, it might be done on the grass, right? And competing as a football player, but he'll always be around the game, talking football. He's that type of personality that you have to have around. So you'll see Gronk having some fun still, somewhere, somehow.
Brandon, I know you said this is Gronk's day, but you don't believe he potentially...
I don't want to know. Don't give me the drama.
Who would you put in that category with him?
Then? No, I'm talking about Gronk right now. I ain't going to get messy right... Maybe the next block. Maybe
messy? Right, you can't get messy with Gronk.
Right, you can't. I'm just saying, if we actually on this day say, oh, he's not the greatest of all time, we start doing this comparison thing, you know, that traditional outlets always do. You know, I feel like right now, let's celebrate him. Let's give him 5 minutes.
Give him 5 minutes.
So listen, what I love about Gronk, man, it's like, number one, man, I always wanted to play with guys that love the game at its purest form, right? And that's what it is, man. Like, this is the type of dude that would have done it without being paid.
Probably.
You know what I'm saying? There's dudes out there, and those are the guys, you know, that I really wanted to play with. It took me a long time to actually adapt and try to work with the guys that didn't think that way. So when you see Gronk outside of all of, you know, his, how big he was and how physical he was, and, you know, he could block, he could do everything. The thing that jumps out is like, this dude had fun.
100%.
He had fun. He pushed the tight end space forward. He pushed the NFL forward, went from no fun league to actually, you know, incorporating, you know, all the antics and people embracing like the personalities that come with, you know, the athletes. So he was one of those guys that actually forced the NFL to embrace the different personalities. Gronk is, he's one of the greatest football players, not just tight ends, one of the greatest football players to ever do it. So I respect that. I'm excited for him. And for me, like, you know, when Shady, you talk about, you know, a guy that's always going to be around the sport, it's like, I look at him as a Charles Barkley. He'll probably end up on Fox,
100%.
You know, the Sunday show, the second show, whatever, and he'll develop out. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him if he chooses to go that way. I know that's what he was working on his last retirement phase. But this dude to me reminds me of Charles Barkley, right? Like, you don't got to go out there and be traditional. He's going to go out there and just be himself, and people going to tune in because it's Gronkowski and he's being real.
Yeah, the thing about Gronk, I think that separates him, the difference between him and a lot of tight ends in the league. You know, I have some battles against him in the AFC East for 5 years of my career, right? This is a guy, again, you hear about the Patriot way, right? He was like the one asterisk to the Patriot way, right? Because he was so different from every other Patriot. Like, they always said the right thing, you know, they knew when to talk to the media and when not to. But Gronk was unapologetically himself. Like, he didn't care about all of that. And the crazy thing is, his head coach really couldn't do nothing because he was a beast on the field, and he let him be himself. And I think, you know, kudos to Bill Belichick, because, you know, he tries to, you know, kind of rein in everything else, and everybody does everything the Patriot way. But great, Gronk was the one asterisk to that, and I think it allowed him to be himself, not only, you know, on the field, but off the field. And again, what separated him was that this dude was a fierce blocker. He wasn't just a pass catching tight end like we see a lot in the NFL today. This dude would put hands on defensive ends, linebackers. We actually were in the studio watching the clip. He literally blocked somebody from what the left has, Brandon, to out of bounds.
Right.
Like, this dude mixed it up. And then also, the year Shady, you guys won the Super Bowl, like, he was heavily involved in that run game as far as blocking. I know you can speak about that. Like, he putting hands on guys. And then in the red zone, I mean, this dude was almost impossible to stop in the red zone. Like, I remember we would have game plans where we would have two guys covering him, almost like punt coverage, right? And he was still find a way.
I've seen that.
Yeah, he would still find a way to get
that,
open.
That lets me know that you guys are in the red zone. That lets me know that you guys are overrated defense. If you guys are not that good, you got to have two guys on somebody that's terrible. But listen, real quick, anyway.
What?
Oh, yeah, like you got to put two guys on somebody, though? Like, come on, man. This is a tight end.
Somebody has to get the ball in the red zone.
Nah, man, listen.
Do you ever get double team? Do you ever have two linebackers eyeing you up?
But listen, I'm talking about the red zone. What is this much? 5 yards? Well, yeah, y'all talking about, I seen that clip. It's on a 3-yard line type of play, right?
Yeah, something like that.
You can't cover somebody for 3 yards. You got
what you mean? But it's a jump ball. You got to think, Gronk, safety. He like 4 inches bigger than him.
I'm gonna give, you know, Gronk his praise. That's why he is the best tight end in the game that we've ever seen, because not only can he catch routes, you know, and catch the ball and et cetera, but he can block. There's times I remember we had to go against certain teams, and we were like debating if we should go unbalanced line and add an extra lineman. And Gronk's like, no way. I'll block him.
Wow.
He's that type of player. You know, and you talk about the Belichick. I don't ever give him too much credit. I think people give him too much credit anyway for the stuff that the guys on the field are actually doing, like a Gronk and Brady. But I'll give you a story, because he's always trying to be tough. And they was telling me how so one time, right, Belichick has the whole team or maybe the offense, I forget. Either the offense or the whole team. A team meeting. And he's going over all the plays, like, Tommy, what the hell are you doing here? And Deion Lewis, you know, this is soft. You know, just going through all the plays, and he gets to Gronk. Damn it, Gronk, what is this? This and that. Da-da-da-da-da. And nobody ever says anything back. So Gronk's like, oh, I mean, coach, like, there's two guys on me. Like, what do you want me to do?
I love it.
Everybody was like cracking up. But that's who he was. Even like the whole 100%. Thing with we got the same agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and they couldn't get a deal done. They were trying to get a deal done, and I guess Belichick, you know, was trying to be tough, and he threatened to trade Gronk, and they actually kind of did to the Lions. And Gronk's like, I mean, how can you trade me? I'm retired. I'm retired. I can't play.
I love
you know
it.
So this is a great dude. Great
did
dude.
You? So is it true that you FaceTimed him today?
Did you FaceTime him? Yep, for a little bit. Yep.
Really? How was that? What did he talk? What did you guys talk about?
I was kind of on set, so we couldn't really like talk. You know what I mean? And then we talked a little bit, but we didn't really get into it at depth. I think we should FaceTime later on today and get a full interview. Like, hey, what's going on? Et cetera, et cetera.
Shut up, Shady.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Get my boy on there.
Love to hear from
him. Let him tell you how he's the best of all time.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. You see, he's trying to date me.
He want me to say he's not. Tony Gonzalez.
I'm highly interested to see who you put in the category.
I'm not doing that right now. This is grown. Maybe it's Tony Gonzalez.
I was gonna say Tony's the only guy I would think comes to mind.
We're not doing that right now. Yeah. Hey, but here, isn't this interesting? I know we have like 2 minutes left in this block, but. Did he mention the Patriots?
No, so I thought about that too. But remember, he retired before, right? And he mentioned
No.
I'm just saying, he did retire before.
So
he gave them their homage already, just like Tom Brady technically did when he retired.
No, Tom Brady didn't do that. Tom Brady first acknowledged Tampa Bay, and it was beautiful. Yeah. He gave them a little bit, and then he came back 4 or 5 days later, and then showed the Patriots love.
Yeah.
People,
they don't like him. Yeah. Nobody likes Belichick. He take all the credit for stuff he don't do.
Come on. I think that's a conversation to have for sure.
He was a bust before he got with Tom Brady and the Patriots. Then all of a sudden he's the greatest of all time. Bull crap.
So who's the greatest of all time then, Shady?
Talking about coaches, right?
The greatest coach?
He gonna say Andy Reid.
No, he's one of them. I gotta say, the best coach of all time is
Bill Belichick. Let me help you out because I don't want my dog to be over here searching. It's Bill Belichick. You know it, man. Stop this nonsense, man. Stop this nonsense.
It's hard not to give Belichick the crown right
now. Why is that hard though?
Because of the amount of rings
amount of rings of who?
Shady, I don't need to talk for you. You're an amazing communicator. To me, you're one of the best out there. I can't wait to launch the video component to this so people can really see your work. Hell, like, phenomenal. Okay, give you flowers.
I'm looking right now.
But bro, I think what you're trying to say here is, it's like there's this imbalance in this conversation. It's Bill Belichick. But at the same time, you have players. And to me, my argument or my point, and when we have these discussions, it's like, it's like both. You got the coaches. You got Bill Belichick. And you got the players, and that's why you had this dynasty and this amazing run for 19, 20 years. So you mean to tell me you could have plugged, okay, let's say this. You want to plug what's the coach that left and went to Cleveland?
You talking about Romeo Crennel?
No, the other one. Cleveland.
He's there right now.
He was with the Jets too. Mac coach.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Damn, what's his name? I'm having a hard time thinking about dude. They went to the playoffs with the Jets. Mangini.
Yeah. So if Mangini had Tom Brady, Gronkowski, all these boys, big Vince Wilfork, et cetera, would they have won those, what is it, six Super Bowls?
Six, yeah.
Maybe seven, because they don't. Let me not say. I won't say how my boys feel about Belichick.
I'm saying Belichick is the greatest coach, but I honestly think it's about the players and plays more than it is about the coach.
So okay,
why is he the greatest, dudes? Why is he the greatest?
That's his rings, bro.
Okay, but dudes, listen to me for a second, right? Listen to me for a second, dudes. Yeah. First of all, it's the reason why all the players, when they leave or when they get honored, they talk about him less. He's less.
It don't matter. They don't like him.
Okay. Number two.
That's needed to make a championship team, though.
Number two is, y'all keep talking about how great this guy was. But, yo, when he had all them other teams he played for, other than the Giants, because he was Parcells. That was Parcells' team, not his. Anyway, when he was a head coach in Cleveland, what did he do? Brandon Marshall.
What you talking about? You got to develop. Can we bring this back, dudes? I know you got to. Can you please bring it back for 5 minutes? Back.
Yeah, we'll bring it back. And also, I would say this. Three rings were defensive. They won on defense.
Hey, listen, I'm sorry I said that. Shady's one of the best communicators out there. I take that back. Retract my statement.
B. Marsh and Shady were having a heated debate about whether Bill Belichick is the reason the Patriots had all success.
It's a dumb debate.
It's more about Tom Brady and the players. And Brandon believes it's more Belichick, so I'm gonna let you
know.
No,
it's not even. He's not even saying it's more about. Is he saying it's all about the players? He's not giving Bill Belichick any credit. Can you give him any credit?
That's not true. I gave him a little credit, right?
Give him credit. Let's do that. Tell me,
he's good at discipline. I think that I think he's a solid defensive coordinator. I don't think he's super great because I played against him on offense and their defense. They give up tons of yards, right? They do very well in the red zone. So I give him credit. I think he's a good coach. I also think he's so great. I think if a lot of these good coaches, they had a guy like Tom Brady on their team, they would have the same amount of championships. Mm. Simple as that. And last but not least, you look at Tom Brady without Belichick, and you look at Belichick without Tom Brady. There's a bigger difference. One is in the playoffs. One has won a Super Bowl. The other one got blown out by 30 to 40 points, and he's supposed to be a defensive guru. That's what I'm telling you. And then a year before that, I mean, they didn't do really anything. Now, even from a guy who never wanted to pay players their true value, right, because he had Tom Brady. Now, when Tom Brady leaves, he's paying everybody top dollar. So I know I'm not wrong. And the thing is, people are scared and afraid to say what was really going on. I don't have that fear. I'm speaking what I see and what I know.
96.7%, huh?
Nice. Not only that, Brandon Marshall, if you had Tom Brady, you might have a championship, brother.
I would have a championship.
Exactly.
And if I had Bill Belichick.
And if you had Bill Belichick, you might still would have a championship.
4-5. Go ahead, B. Listen, some of the things that you said were correct, okay?
Like what?
Bill Belichick, and I asked you this question earlier, and I saved you. I gave you grace. I said, well, if he's not the greatest of all time, who is? You don't know that answer. Mm. That's the reality. The reality is Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach of all time. Not only is he a great head coach, but he's also one of the greatest leaders in not only business and not only sports, but also business. People study this guy, how he runs and manages team. Now, is it perfect? Absolutely not. And to your point earlier, well, why aren't these people talking about it? Because the reality is when you are the guy, you're at the top, the lady at the top, not everyone likes you. You got to be okay with making the tough decision. You got to be okay with saying to Randy Moss, like, hey, Randy, we're going to let you go a year before, you know, everybody else will, because we're not going to be stuck with you. I want to get the ultimate value right now. So when you talk about legendary moves, these head scratchers and
Vince Lombardi.
Vince, oh, now, yeah, look, he went to go Google. So when you think about these head scratchers, why did he do that? Richard Seymour. Mm. Vince Wilfork? Mm. How? Because it's a business. There's no emotion in money.
Yeah.
Okay,
on, and players,
we take it so personal. Oh my goodness, look what all I did for the organization. How can you do this to me? We're a family. It ain't no family.
Straight business.
It's straight business. There's no
Tommy like that.
Katie, you talk. Now it's my turn. I gave you the floor. Okay. So when you think about Bill Belichick, and to me, it's both. It's 50-50. Okay. And why? Because yes, you absolutely need players. You have the GOAT,
literally
Tom Brady. Oh yes, he's going to make it easier for you. You can go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to actually pay him and then give these other guys a little bit here. I don't have to go invest in all these other guys, right? When you lose that guy, yes, you got to go out there and go break the bank.
Spend that mate's bread for real,
right?
Yeah,
right. But we talk about him as the leader, the decision maker, the general manager. He's one of the best to ever do it. He can go in the Hall of Fame as one of the greatest general manager, and he's going to go down as the greatest head coach. Because when you talk about, okay, I got Tom Brady, he's the one that made Tom Brady Tom Brady, from as far as from molding and shaping. He's the one that made the decision saying, I'm going to go with this guy. He's the one that said, no, we're not going to bring Bledsoe back in and say, you got my ball. You lead the way. He's the one that implemented this philosophy that's been in place for 21 years. This is how we do offense. And then also we're going to have another playbook at halftime. We're going to change things up. Okay, Mr. Scouting Department, I want you to break down Shady McCoy. Every time he lines up here and his head turns this way, this is what he's going to do. That all comes from Bill Belichick when you talk about culture. He's putting his team in position to win. We're talking about preparation. They win before they even get on the field. And that starts with Bill Belichick. Yeah.
I got a question for both of you guys. I'll start with you, Brandon, since, you know, you're on the Bill Belichick. You know, you said it's 50-50. Bandwagon. I'll give you your respect. You said it's 50-50. Half the players, half Bill Belichick. Do you think that Bill Belichick feels the pressure to win a ring since Tom Brady is already one without him?
That's why he's Bill Belichick. He doesn't get caught up in the distractions. That's why he was able to create this culture. And this, we talk about the Patriot way. We don't care about what's happening.
Don't give me the political building. Answer. Give me.
I'm telling you, man. No, so he don't feel that. He don't care.
Come on, man.
Hey, dudes, can I ask a question, dudes? He knows who he is.
That's the problem.
Hey, dudes, can I ask a question, please, sir?
Go ahead.
So I'm not going to speak on the behalf of, like, my opinion. I'm going to speak on behalf of what I've heard. Okay,
so. Are you going to hear that story? That has nothing to do with Bill Belichick. Go ahead and tell your story that you told on IMF. I know what you're about to do. Go ahead, Shady.
First of all, right, for all the super cool, special people on Earth, a guy named Michael Rubin invites him to his July 4th party. You know what I'm saying? I'm going there again. Anyway, one of his good friends is Robert Kraft, the bosses of all bosses for the Patriots, right? So I'm like, hey, man, this know how I am. Hey, Mr. Kraft, what happened? How you let Tommy get out the door? He says, Shady, that darn it, Tommy, it broke my heart when he left. He said, and then I watched him win a championship with Tampa Bay. He said, I told Belichick, Bill, as we said, Bill, you got to give me a championship. It's on you.
Okay, but what that got to do? That wasn't
Wait, excuse me, Brandon. One second. So, dudes, when you ask, hey, do you think it's pressure on him to win another championship now that Tom Brady left and got one? When your boss says that to you, what do you think?
No, this is Bill Belichick. What are you talking about?
Come on.
What are you talking about? Okay. Bill Belichick is listening to Mr. Kraft and he's saying, he's scared. Oh, my goodness.
I'm
not
saying he's scared, but I'm just saying, like, we always talk about this, right? We as players, you know, when we go and do our interviews, we're saying, you know, we don't listen to the news clippings, but we know damn right we listen to it. You don't think Bill Belichick has heard all this from LeSean Shady McCoy, from other players saying, like, well, you know, Brady won it without you. Was it more about Brady? Was it more about you? Why do you think he spent the money he spent in the offseason? He's trying to go win another championship.
He's trying to win a championship every year.
I get that. Every coach should have that type of money. Every coach should have that type of mentality. But I guarantee you, and I don't want to speak for Bill Belichick, but I can think in the back of his head, like, Tom Brady went in his first year, Brandon. His first year, he left and won a championship. You don't think, you know, Bill Belichick is like, damn, I need to win one.
Okay, let's talk about that. Okay, yeah. You was there, right? You got the ring, right, Shady McCoy?
Hey, look, you know what's crazy? Yo, Bill Belichick has never hit Tom Brady to congratulate him.
That's fine. We ain't talking about that
you
right now.
You think he ain't bitter? That's bitter.
We ain't talking about that right now. There's so much more. That's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother block. So, Shady, you were there. You have the ring, right? No, do you have the ring? You was there with Tampa. You was there.
I have the ring. That's legendary year that he just brought up, talking about in his first year.
Talk to me about this offensive line. Top five offensive line. That's a fact. They were top five.
Let's talk about
the pass catchers.
They were really good.
He had what? Goodwin?
Mike Evans.
Antonio Brown. Yeah. Let's put little Scotty in there. Scotty Miller, his guy, his little safety. Hold on, let me finish. Did he not have a top five defense?
He had a good defense.
Ain't no good defense. It's a great defense.
New England's defense
five.
Is always in the top five, though.
It was a top
though.
Five. Look what he did to the Aaron
Rodgers. Where are we going with this?
Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to the playoffs. So how did y'all win? You know how they won? Now here, I'm going to give Tom Brady his flowers. I love Tom. I just actually messaged him.
Because you're getting disrespectful right now.
I'm not. But no, let's be honest here, Shady. Let's be honest.
That defense won that championship.
Running game. Week 12. The running game, boy. When they stopped doing that, they started leaning on the running game. And then the defense. Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the NFC championship game.
He threw some pivotal throws too, though.
He three interceptions. I mean, you know that. Saying, but like, sit down, it, dudes, if I say right now, we're going against Tom Brady, we're going against Peyton Manning, and I'm telling you right now, he's going to throw three interceptions, and the other team's going to turn the ball over once. What is the percentage?
We would most likely lose that game.
Correct. No, we would win because I'm talking about you going against Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. So, like, yes, Tom Brady, to me, set the tempo with shut up every day. When it's getting tough, hey, stay focused. Continue to push. To me, that's more valuable sometimes than the other things. So it was a team effort. But let's not just say he came there and it's like, oh, my goodness, he lit it up and did all that stuff. Man, come on, man. Y'all had a top. Y'all had top goals. Y'all had that defense. And y'all also had a top five offensive line. And y'all had that run game. Hold to me, Teddy. It was a great job. It was a great job. Tom Brady did a great job going to the perfect spot.
Okay. Brandon, that legitimately was a
Shady.
I'm gonna go to Shady, but the same team that Jameis went with 30 for 30 on 30 touchdowns was almost identical to the team that Tom Brady had. But when Tom Brady got there, they went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl.
Yes, and that's why I'm giving him his flowers.
I just want to make sure.
I'm giving him his flowers, bro. But Shady was there. Shady, pull back the curtains. Tell the people, man, what was really going on, Shady. You want to be so real. Tell the people. They was beefing the first 6-8 weeks, man.
They were.
It wasn't really beef. Just that so Tom played under a type of coach where, hey, you coach, I play, and that's it. Right? That old school mentality. That's what Belichick loves. That's what he used to get away with. Now we have the players, the quarterback, so he don't do it as much. But anyway, Tom's used to an offense for 20-some years. So any player, right, any player that comes to a new team is going to struggle to learn the playbook, right? Chad, he went over to New Orleans or to the Patriots. He couldn't pick it up, and you know what I'm saying? So learning the playbook is hard, all right? So Tom, coming from a different playbook, had to learn a whole new thing. And he was like, look, let me get some of my plays that I use, right, that I did successfully for so many years, and give me some of BA's playbook, and let's put it together. After the bye week, they did that, and they got a championship. What you're not going to take credit from Tom is that, okay, he might have played bad some games, but overall, he changed the whole culture of that office, of that team. That team been like a losing team for a couple of years. Tom Brady changed that whole mindset, the whole culture. Something that you never was a part of, brother.
I agree.
Oh, wow.
No. Listen. You can take your shots all you want to, and you gonna take my shots when I shoot them things from the hip too. Now, look, you're right about that, and I'm not taking
always
it away
right
from Tom. Like leadership, that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes in the NFL, we get it wrong where we miss out on like investing a little bit of extra for that veteran because he's gonna be that person that changed the culture in the locker room, or he's going to be the one to keep the ship together when the waves get real, real big and it gets real strong and aggressive. And so I agree there, but what we're not going to do is not give Todd Bowles his flowers because he's the real MVP of that playoff run.
Come on, the playoff run.
Yeah. You know who he beat? Drew Brees. You know who else he beat?
Aaron Rodgers.
You know who else he beat? Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterbacks in this
none
era.
None of that gets noticed if we don't have a quarterback. Like, let's come on, man. Tom Brady is the main reason why we won. Let's keep it real. Belichick will be talking
to the top five offensive line too. Like, I love Tom. I just text Tom and say, Tom, like Gronk retired. I'm ready to play tight end. I literally just messaged him, and he keep laughing at me. FaceTime your boy and say, B. Marshall was serious about coming out of retirement playing tight end. He won't take me serious.
And the thing with Tom Brady is like, yo, they talk about how fast he's the ball out. He knows where he's going with the ball already. Ooh. And real quick, Belichick is not responsible for a guy like Tom Brady making the whole offense watch extra tape together, making them stay at the practice where the ones do it, then the twos do it, all the extra reps. Every team's not doing that. The Chiefs not doing that. I haven't been nowhere with no quarterback. Oh, let me finish. I played
with a lot
of great quarterbacks. Vic, McNabb, Mahomes, Josh Allen. I've never seen a quarterback demand the most out of all his players like Tom Brady. Give him his credit. Yeah.
Hear in-depth analysis of the NBA Finals with Danny Green on Inside the Green Room, a SiriusXM podcast.
Super happy for Steph, super happy for Klay, you know, coming back to 6 games. The rest of those guys, even the young guys that never got a chance to experience it. Obviously, Draymond has been a big part of that. They've had a great group and kept it together for so long. And that's a big key that you don't see often in this league at all. And that's why they had the experience and why they had the foundation and why they've been so successful up until this point still.
Inside the Green Room. Download it now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcast.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger, something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And fellas, there's a lot going on in the NFL today. Washington Commanders owner Daniel Snyder conducted shadow investigations to bury findings of the official probe into the Commanders organization. We're going to bring in friend and insider of our show, Amy Dash, who is the Odyssey legal insider and founder of leagueofjustice.com. Amy, make sense of all of this for all our listeners.
Well, today there was a hearing on Capitol Hill, and it was run by a committee that asked voluntarily Roger Goodell and Daniel Snyder to come and answer questions. Now, usually it starts with a voluntary please show up. So Roger Goodell showed up and he answered questions and he made a statement condemning the toxic workplace that took place in the Washington Commanders clubhouse. But what happened now is that Daniel Snyder did not show up. So today from the hearing, the representative said that 460,000 documents have been handed over by the NFL to Congress. They're conducting their own investigation. They've found, or at least they're accusing Daniel Snyder of conducting this shadowy investigation where he was compiling dossiers on some of the women and the cheerleaders that were making accusations against the team. He was sending out private investigators, which some of the cheerleaders have told me actually happened, to, they believe, try to intimidate them, to offer them hush money. And so now the representative said, well, she believes that he skipped out on the hearing to go dock his yacht somewhere, and she's going to subpoena him and use the legal powers of the committee in Congress to compel him to come and answer questions.
Wow. So you're saying that they can subpoena, you know, Daniel Snyder and make him come answer those questions because he didn't show up today.
Yeah, but he can try to fight that. So in order for a subpoena to be valid, it has to serve a legitimate and a valid legislative purpose. So it has to be relevant to Congress and to the laws that they make. And so, you know, he can argue and go to court and contest it and say, I don't have to show up because Congress has no, there's no reason for Congress. They have no authority to be meddling in the private corporate affairs of what goes on inside an NFL club.
All right, Amy, what? Come on now. Let me ask you a question. You know how big these bosses play over here, and these are the guys now, and they have the best lawyers. Do you really think that gonna happen?
Well, I think, listen, he obviously turned his nose up at the request, right? Because he didn't show up. So if he's already resisting, then he's probably going to have his lawyers try to challenge a subpoena. Because if you listen to the hearing today, I mean, the Democrats, at least that were leading that hearing, have already made up their mind that he's guilty. I mean, there was some really sharp rhetoric. There were Republicans saying, what the hell is going on here? What are we doing here? There is baby formula shortages. There's issues of national importance going on. One guy said there's tampon shortages. There's immigration concerns. There's just crazy things going on in the world. Why are we using Congress's hearing powers to talk about the Washington Commanders? Doesn't make sense. So that's going to actually go in his favor, because if he goes to a judge and says, listen, there's no real legitimate legislative purpose here, he can use the testimony from the Republicans today that are saying, why are you doing this right now? This is a Democratic ploy to distract from things going on in the Biden administration that you don't want to address. So he can use that political playing card to say that there's no legislative valid purpose for the inquiry. Now, on the other side of the aisle, Maloney and some of the Democrats said, no, wait, there is a legislative purpose here, because this affects workplaces across America. What goes on and what's tolerated by the NFL trickles down to influence employers and employees all across the country, because they feel if you can get away with it in the NFL and it can be hidden, then it's okay for everybody else. So they've introduced two new laws to protect people from workplace harassment. And they're going to say that they actually have legislation on the table that's relevant to this inquiry.
Now, Amy, quick question for you. So now this is just strictly like a civil matter right now, right?
Yes.
So this is a civil matter. Okay. So with the authorities like the police and et cetera, did they surpass that, or it never got to that level? Just trying to.
And I wondered why, because I had spoken to some of the cheerleaders and I asked them, why hasn't there been a criminal investigation, especially with the allegations of the pornography video? There were accusations that at Daniel Snyder's direction, there were nude videos taken of the cheerleaders without their consent while they were changing in between takes of some sort of a swimsuit calendar or video. And that those videos of their nude body parts were then circulated to other people within the organization, including Dan Snyder. And that there was some sort of a soundtrack to Dan Snyder's favorite hits that paired with the video. So I said, why hasn't there been a criminal investigation into like revenge porn? People think of revenge porn as like, oh, I was dating somebody and we had a falling out, and then I took nude videos and pictures from our relationship and I put it all over the internet. But revenge porn can also encompass, you know, any type of non-consensual sharing through electronic means of somebody's nudity. You don't have to be in a relationship with that person. And the cheerleader said, we'd love there to be a criminal investigation, but it's unclear, you know, whether anybody filed any criminal complaints and why not. So,
the reason why I'm asking that, right, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday with me, Brandon, and Dudes, and it was more just, there's always like a civil case, not all the time. I shouldn't say all the time, but a lot of times there's a civil case where I guess the police do their due diligence and it goes past that, right? And then it goes to civil. And it seems like the NFL tries to do more than what the police already did, from investigators to whoever it is. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, why is it that the NFL goes beyond the actual police, right? When it becomes a civil case where these people, if they were wrong, if they thought they were done wrong or something, you know, against them, whatever it is, right, assaulted a certain way, they don't go to the police, but they go to civil. Or if they do go to police and the police check everything out, like the Deshaun Watson situation, he had a case, right? They did all the due diligence and everything on investigators, interviewing the people, the victims, and et cetera. And they let him go. And then it became civil, and the NFL are still trying to do like their own police work. Can you explain to me and the viewers like why that is? Why do they do that? I'm just curious to know.
Yeah. Pac-Man, did you have something that?
Oh, yeah. I was going to tell Shady.
I'll get into it.
Hold on before you go, Amy. I was going to tell Shady. What you're saying it right, but what you mean is, so when one of us get in trouble, none of the owners or the guys that's running the circle, the NFL is very quick to go and do their whole due diligence pick up every the NFL investigation more than the police investigate you.
In the little parlors. You're right about that.
They investigate you more than the police investigate you when you're not an owner. Now, when you're an owner, it's flipped. Now, the reason why it's not in criminal court is it's no way they'll win a criminal case with bringing this up from back then. Now, the money-wise, it's all about the money, Shady. It's all about the money. For us, it's about taking the money when we do something wrong. You get what I'm saying? And on the flip end, it's about getting the money.
Yeah.
So, Amy, go ahead and break
that. So, you guys are going to love me because a couple years ago when everything went on with Ezekiel Elliott, I actually wrote an editorial about this, condemning the NFL creating its own criminal court. Mm. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think it deprives people of the protections of the criminal justice system, which is being found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, having an opportunity to put on your own defense, having an opportunity to contest evidence. So what they're doing is they're basically conducting their own criminal investigation, and they're adjudging guilt and convicting people of crimes within the context of the NFL and their own private investigators and team, which I think is absurd. It's ludicrous. I've been vocal for years about that they should not be in the business of investigating potential criminal activity and making their own determinations, because really what they do is they convict people in a public forum. So like with Deshaun Watson, and they're going to go in and they're going to say, okay, well, we've got a neutral arbitrator. She's going to examine the evidence. She's a former federal judge, but you don't have a jury there. You don't have a real like adversarial system where he could put on a proper defense. So if she comes out and says, well, I'm just making this up, like in five of the cases, let's take the most serious ones where you're being accused of forcing oral sex. I think you did that. The evidence supports that you did that. And you're going to, and even if she doesn't make that determination, and Sam, the implication is he did it. Right? He's getting disciplined for it. He's getting punished for it. So now everybody thinks he's guilty of doing those things, but he hasn't been criminally charged and he hasn't been criminally convicted. But now he has been by the NFL and its investigators. So he's been publicly criminally convicted. And I disagree with it. I think the criminal justice system fails victims constantly because, if a prosecutor doesn't think that they can win a case, even if they believe the victim, they won't bring that case a lot of times if there's troubles with the evidence. Sometimes it's the right thing to do. Sometimes it's the wrong thing to do. So I don't agree with the corruption in the criminal justice system, but I still don't think a better alternative is for the NFL to make its own criminal justice system.
Amy, I was just wanting to say, it's the same thing when we have a fine. You guess who get to decide the fine? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we get suspended, guess who get to decide? Hey, how many games you get? It's no jury, it's no justice. It's nothing in that system when it comes to the NFL. I love Mr. Goodell for what he did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It changed my life mentally. But it's no like whatever he feels is the rule.
Well, they have a new system now. They have a new system that actually is in favor of the players a little bit. So they have a new arbitrator. Now, if the arbitrator decides no suspension, the NFL can't go in and change that. The player wins. Okay. There's no suspension. Goodell, the NFL, they can't go in and contest it. If the arbitrator decides suspension, NFL and Goodell can come in and change the number of games.
Right.
So if she decides like the evidence is problematic in a lot of the cases and there won't be a suspension in like 10 of the 20 cases or 24 cases, that's it. Deshaun doesn't get suspended in those cases. There's no changing that. So that's in favor of the players, at least. That's
what I was replying to is like as far as in trouble with the NFL, like we was talking about Deshaun situation, but I'm just saying, hey, tomorrow somebody say, you know what I mean? I stepped on their shoe. The NFL is going to critique me and build up the case before I even go to court. And I'm going to have to go back to Goodell to figure out, hey, look, do I deserve to get suspended for a game or not? Blase this, blase that.
Yeah. No, totally.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my guys, Adam Pac-Man Jones and LaShawn Shady McCoy. And we're talking to Amy Dash Odyssey, legal insider and founder of LeagueOfJustice.com, about what's going on with Daniel Snyder, the Washington Commanders owner, and the shadow investigation to bury findings of the official probe into the Commanders organization. So pushing this conversation forward, Amy, I believe, you know, Roger Goodell testified today, said he has no authority to remove Snyder, right? We just talked about it. There's no criminal, I believe, no criminal charges brought up against Daniel Snyder. Is there something where the owners could get together because of all the backlash the Washington Commanders have gotten and potentially vote him off the, you know, the ownership board?
Yeah. And what will happen is, you know, the NFL's hired Mary Jo White, a former U.S. attorney, to investigate the latest claims that a cheerleader said Snyder himself sexually assaulted and harassed her. So she was the same person that investigated Jerry Richardson for the Panthers. So after that report and investigation came out, he decided to voluntarily sell the team. So something similar could happen where there's a damning report. There's a recommendation in the report by this investigator that the team ownership be stripped from Snyder. But then what happens is if he doesn't want to voluntarily sell the team, Goodell has to make a recommendation to the owners, which he would probably base on Mary Jo White's report, if in fact she recommends that. And he would say to the owners, I recommend that you vote on whether to strip him of his ownership. And then you need 2/3 vote, the majority basically of the owners. So on the one hand, the owners want to protect themselves from having their ownership titles stripped just based on accusations, right? So they don't want to be quick to deprive someone of ownership because it could happen to them and there's a lot of money at stake. But at the same time, I made this comparison today. It's kind of like Survivor, the show. At some point, you're going to protect people until you need to eat them, right? Because because your survival depends on it. So I think they don't want to look bad. So if the allegations and the evidence to support them reach a certain level and it comes out in the public, they'll probably vote to remove him if he doesn't sell the team.
I like that line, Amy. You know, sometimes you got to protect people until you need to eat them. That's definitely tweetable. Amy, we thank you for stopping by and talking to us and making sense of all what's going on in the NFL today. Make sure you guys follow Amy on Twitter. She's a great follow on Amy Dash. I believe your Twitter name's Amy Dash, right?
Amy Dash TV.
Amy Dash TV. Great Twitter follow. Make sure you follow her. Thanks again, Amy, for stopping by.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
We're just minutes away from my Orlando Magic picking number one overall. Who are they going to take?
Messing up the first round pick.
Wait to see who they take. But we're going to head live to Barclays Center to have Adam Silver tell us when the pick is live. Now, when you hear this Sue Bird bing bong sound, go ahead and play that for
bing
us.
Bing bong.
It's time bing for bong. Us to head over to Brooklyn and hear the pick that the team is making. But while we wait to see who the Orlando Magic pick in the number one overall in the NBA draft, let's go over some unique NBA storyline. So Duke's Paolo Banchero is the son of Rhonda Smith Banchero, who was a two-time All-American center at Washington and played professionally in the WNBA. Auburn's Jabari Smith, Auntie Chantel's homie, is the son of Jabari Smith Sr., who played in the NBA. He played over 108 games in 4 seasons, and he's also the cousin of Kwame Brown, the first overall pick in the 2001 NBA draft. Chet Holmgren, who potentially could go 1, 2, or 3, is the son of Dave Holmgren, who stands 7 feet tall and played college basketball at Minnesota. And my sleeper pick for this draft, Jaden Ivey, who I think is probably going to have the best career out of everybody in this draft, is the son of Notre Dame's women's basketball head coach, Neil Ivey, who spent the 2019-20 season as an assistant coach with the Memphis Grizzlies. And she was also an All-American selection at Notre Dame and played in the WNBA as well. Auntie, man, a lot of crazy storylines. A lot of WNBA storylines there too, huh?
I love it. It's a lot of kids that are coming from some hoopers. Yeah. And I love that. And I love that the WNBA player, former WNBA players are, you know, I think tonight it's about their sons and, you know, what a great opportunity for all of the young men tonight. And whether their parents played in the league or not, they're going to play in the league. And that's a great story. Thing. This Absolutely.
This is a special story. The one thing that I will say, I covered the WNBA for one season. No, actually two. I covered the Miami Soul and I covered the Detroit Shock. And the one thing I always have respect for the WNBA is they focused on the fundamentals.
Right.
That's as good fundamental teaching that you can see in basketball when you watch the WNBA and women's athletics, women's basketball. And so you have to think that a lot of these prospects of these players who come from WNBA, you know, they have a good foundation of the fundamentals. Mm. And that's important. I think that's important to today's game.
Yeah, and Absolutely. I'm glad you said it, Omar, because I can attest to this. And football, not, you know, basketball, right? When you do interviews or you go on visits with teams, they have you fill out this questionnaire, right? And even when I was in my All-Star game, my senior year, when I played in Texas versus Nation, they had you fill out this questionnaire. And one of the questions on there, do you have any relatives that played professional sports? Because they look at that. They look at the genetics.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, a guy like Paolo Banchero, whose mom played in the WNBA. Jabari Smith, whose dad played in the WNBA. Jaden Ivey, whose mom is the head coach of the Notre Dame women's basketball team and played in the WNBA. That looks good. You know, they like those players that have the genetics and, you know, their parents played or their cousins played, right? Because it shows that they have the genetics to maybe make it to the next level. And they also come from a family whose parents already did it. So they know how the NBA is going to work, right? They know because his mom played in the WNBA or Jabari Smith, you know, his dad played in the NBA. He knows how the NBA works. So, you know, teams are always looking for that edge when they're looking at recruits like this guy. You know we could probably count on him. Yeah, he grew up, you know, in the NBA family. So his dad is going to teach him about work ethic, right? He knows what his dad's schedule was when he was younger, right? He saw his dad put in the work to, you know, to play in the NBA. So I think it's interesting that, you know, I had never even realized that when I was filling out those questionnaires, that's what they were doing. Cause I always thought it was a strange question. Like, do you have anybody?
Oh yeah. Bloodlines.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right.
So there's some other unique story lines in there. Jaden Ivey, where does he end up going? Like, Auntie, I know you said at the number four spot, we think he's going to go there, but who do you ultimately think picks him? Is it going to be the Sacramento Kings? Or is a team going to trade up to potentially get Jaden Ivey?
I think a team, I wouldn't be surprised if a team traded up to get him. I know the Knicks wanted him. But hell, I don't know anymore. Shit, we may hear a name none of us were talking about at number one. A trade for number two. Omar Kelly goes number three to the Rockets. Like, I don't know.
I can't
shoot. I'm confused. You can't shoot, Omar?
No, I can't shoot. I can't shoot.
Golly.
I was good for about five fouls and a couple rebounds.
Hey, we need that every once in a while. You need somebody who's going. But I tell you who's a sleeper who I really liked. I like Keegan Murray from Iowa. Like, I really like him.
From Iowa. He's
Yeah. You know, I think, I don't know. Hell, we're going to see in like, what, 2-3 minutes?
Yeah, about 2 or 3 minutes, we're going to see who goes number one overall, and then the chips are going to start to slowly fall. Honestly, do you believe there'll be any blockbuster trades in the top 10?
I really do. I think somebody comes up and gets Jaden number four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if that's a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm talking blockbuster about like
a package
would be like
a package deal to try to trade up to get the number four spot.
Well, maybe they send Russell Westbrook to the Rockets.
Yo,
going back to the Rockets.
Going back to the Rockets. With Kyrie, send Kyrie to the Rockets too, and then Jabari, Chet, and Paolo all go to the Lakers.
I always find this very interesting, and I know this is not expected conversation, but I always find it interesting that the NBA has their draft before they do free agency. Whereas the NFL has the free agency before they do the draft. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, even if you're the Miami Heat and I'm just using them as an example. I mean, I'm just throwing out a good franchise, you know, healthy franchise.
Right.
If you're the Miami Heat and you, let's say you have your eyes set on a prospect that you think is going to be number, taking number 19.
Yeah, he go. Paolo's going first, y'all. Just let you know.
Think so?
Yep.
You thought it was just they were blowing smoke at first. Now you believe he's going number one overall?
I don't think he. I don't know.
Oh,
the pick is in.
So we're gonna see in a second who they're taking. I mean, they didn't even use the whole clock, so they were sure, you know, that whoever they were taking, they knew who they were gonna take it because they didn't use the whole clock.
Oh, but we ain't waiting.
You've been number one forever, so you had your pick of the litter. I would hope you know on draft night who you're taking one overall.
You're going to get the speech about we stack up our board, and this is the player that we felt had the most upside, potential. You know, yes, it's a duplicate position. We already got a power forward, but, you know, we'll probably just trade
him. Who do y'all think it is? Like, who it is? Like,
I think it's still Jabari.
The way people were talking about Jabari and Bing Bong, JB Bayless's list of
think we just heard the Bing Bong, so I think the pick is in. We'll be going to Adam Silver here shortly. He hasn't made his way to the podium yet. Let's see. Gosh.
With the first pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Orlando Magic select Paolo Banchero from Duke University.
Ooh. Wow. Anthony, maybe you wanted chaos? You got
there
it.
There
it
goes.
Paolo Banchero, number one overall from Orlando Magic. I'm not mad about it. Athletic power forward.
Right.
This will free up Franz Wagner. He won't have to be on the block as much. He's a good passer as well. Has good vision. That suit is not agreeing with him, but you know, like Omar said, right? Anybody that's confident to wear that, they got to have confidence in their game. What do you think, Auntie?
He looked like
Paolo's going number one.
Yeah, I just felt it. Like he looked like in that suit, he looks like one of the motion capture characters.
That's a good
like, you know, the ones that end up in the green that they said earlier, for the game.
He looks like a chandelier.
Oh, my God. Hey, let that man get his roses. That man was
This
will be one of those suits that makes history because it will never be undone. There's no way that you can top this right here.
Right. I'll tell you this.
His suit is purple. Is it purple?
It's Barney Purple.
It's purple.
It's like Barney Purple. And then he's got diamond chandelier looking things all
hanging
over
off
it,
of it.
Hanging off of it. So I'm like, not a good
look. But hey, 6'10", 250. And you know. Yeah.
And he's also the guy that the British reporter at the F1 series mistaken for Patrick Mahomes.
Nah, Patrick Mahomes ain't 6'10", 250. What the hell?
He thought it was Patrick Mahomes, but yeah, watching
the
video
big question
right now.
The big question though.
You see the power right there versus Chet Holmgren, putting him on the block quick. And one real athletic guy, power forward, has athletic ability, can put the ball on the deck, right? But his strength is he's more of a driver slasher guy. They got comparisons. They say Michael Beasley and Ben Simmons.
That's a little weird.
I kind of get it, right? Because, Ben Simmons is not a shooter. Neither is Paolo Banchero, right? He's a guy that drives to the hole and finishes at the rim. That's what Banchero can do. And Beasley, you know, can get hot just like Banchero can get hot.
But I wouldn't take either of them first.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take either of them first. Now, the question to y'all.
Ben Simmons did go number one, though.
I'm saying I wouldn't take either of them first.
Yeah.
Who do you think goes next?
That's what I'm saying. To your point, Auntie, you think Oklahoma City's been high on Chet Holmgren this whole time. So, you know, do they take him or do they believe, you know, because Jabari, they thought was going to go number one overall, do they take Jabari? So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Oklahoma's on the clock. Right. I believe they got about 33 minutes left. And we'll have that pick for you when it comes back.
The couch that they're sitting on is also purple, and he just blends in.
Is that blue? It might be blue.
I think it's blue.
Yeah,
Oh, it's like Orlando Magic blue.
I'm colorblind. Oh, so those are not the same color? Okay, my bad.
But someone has to be his friend.
And tell him don't
Someone had to have called him and said, bruh,
not a suit you don't
wear
again.
That bullshit.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a one and done.
This is a one and done. You're not
I guarantee
this
all them pieces don't make it to the end of the night on that suit.
Yeah, where else you gonna wear it?
He got to get some use out of that. He got to go parlay in New York after that. Mm. After getting drafted
he ain't gonna wear that out.
He ain't gonna never wear that again.
I don't know about that.
That is a legendary suit right there.
It'll be interesting now to see how this draft board falls again.
I promise you, 10 years from now, he'll be looking back at that and they'll ask him about that suit.
I was just young. I thought it was.
He gonna be like, "What the hell was wrong with me?"
Yeah, I thought it was fly back then.
Right? Or does Oklahoma City take Chet, and then someone else
trades up to get Jabari for
Houston?
Oklahoma City pick is in as well right now. Again, they didn't use the clock, so they were sure on their pick. As soon as we hear Sue Bird, we'll go to the podium. And Adam Silver will give us a number two pick for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Will it be Chet Holmgren?
Put it out there. Who is it, y'all?
Will it be Chet Holmgren, or will it be Jabari Smith, or will it be Jaden Ivey, possibly?
I'm a Jabari Smith guy. I'll see.
I'm just mad that Jabari didn't go on.
Got one overall.
What does it matter, Auntie?
That's bragging rights. Like, but it is what it is. Like, he's a Duke guy. And I remember conversations that we had, dudes. And you asked me a long time ago who I liked the most in the draft. And I said Paolo. Mm-hmm. But then I said that Jabari was going to go first. But when Orlando got the pick, I think it's when the lottery, when they did
Jabari
lottery.
Don't look happy right
I
now.
I was wrong. Yeah, Jabari ain't got called. It's all right, son. It's all right, nephew.
Uh-oh.
Is he answering the phone?
He's not answering the phone.
He said,
they looked at him and they were like, yeah, he don't have a name.
But they don't like Chet answering bing the phone. Bong.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, bing Chris. Bong.
There we go. Was that the bing bong?
He don't look like, Chet look like he mad.
With the second pick in the 2022 NBA draft, the Oklahoma City Thunder select Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga University.
There it is, Chet Holmgren. I mean, a lot of people, like you said, Auntie, had him tied to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So even though Jabari Smith was still available, they get Chet Holmgren, a stretch center, if that's what you want to call him.
Is that
seven-footer that can handle the rock, shoot the three. On the defensive end, he's going to help this really young team, right? Good shot blocker, you know, is close to averaging 4 blocks a game. I think that's where he's going to be, you know, make his first impact. And then when he gets his body right, then I think he's a guy that could potentially, you know, put up 15 to 20 points a game in the NBA once he gets that body right. But on the defensive end, I think that's where he's going to make his mark. What do you think, Auntie?
He got to gain some weight. He got to eat a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something. But you know, he's going to help Oklahoma City. You know, Gonzaga, he had a great coaching staff. I think he's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
had 43 pointers and 100 blocks.
I just need to know
one of three players in D1 to do that in the last 25 seasons. So yeah, I mean, that right here we're seeing it. I mean, I know you guys can't see it on air, but yeah, this guy around the rim, he's gonna help side defense. It's gonna be big for him. Right, that length is going to show up. And then again, 7-footer, but can put the ball on the ground, can play with his back to the basket as well. Has a nice little jumper. And Alkin can shoot the 3-ball on your head. Bang. That's what he can do. So, I mean, I like that pick for them. Oklahoma City going and get Chet Holmgren. Again, he's going to need a lot of time in the weight room.
Yeah.
We saw earlier in these clips, you know, Paolo Banchero got into his chest. And it was barbecue chicken alert.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, but yeah.
But these, you know what my question is for y'all now?
Mm-hmm.
Jabari only worked out for the Magic and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, so you think there's a potential fall?
I don't know. I'm just saying. That's why
your scouts have to do their due diligence.
Right. Absolutely. But I believe that those were the only two teams that he worked out for. Wow. So now, who's on the phone for him?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Houston's on, you know what I'm saying? That's where you wanted him to go anyway if he didn't go one, right, Auntie?
Right.
Pick for the Houston Texans, right? Because they're a very young team, like you said, Auntie.
Well, he ain't going to the Houston Texans. He's going to the Houston Rockets, though.
Yeah, this is a really good
thing. He'd be in trouble if he was going to the Texans, like you just said.
Excuse me, Houston Rockets. Jalen Green, you know, and Porter Jr., mm-hmm. I think, you know, they'll be able to grow together, right? And, you know, maybe they have their mini version of what OKC had back in the day, you know, with Kevin Durant and Westbrook and all them. Mm. So I think that's what the Houston Rockets are banking on this year. So, yeah.
Houston Rockets are so much better than the Houston Texans. So.
Yeah, that's saying much.
Want more I Am Athlete tonight? This your boy B. Marshall. If so, you can get a new episode every night by subscribing to the main I Am Athlete Tonight podcast feed. We're on Mad Dog Sports Radio every weeknight, 7 and 9 Eastern. However, if you can't catch us live or you just want to hear the show again, you can always catch us on Apple or Stitcher or however you get your podcasts. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
We're in a period of rapid change, and sometimes it can feel like things are spinning out of control. With political tensions, anxiety, and loneliness rising, and questions about how to live a good life on everyone's mind, finding answers can seem harder than ever. For millennia, spiritual thinkers have offered wisdom and tools to help people find their way in trying times, advice that even a scientist like me, Dave DeSteno, is finding have a lot to offer. To join the conversation, look for How God Works wherever you listen to podcasts.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... the charcoal mask, great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice, I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.